Good morning, I'm Adam Schurz and I'm a dad and I love dad jokes. I was so inspired by that video we watched. Didn't you think that was so funny? It's like my kids know I tell bad jokes every day of the year. Today should be no exception. I thought we might start with a joke that helps us understand actually how Jesus taught us in the parables. He used analogies to help us understand things that are very complex in God and the things of God by making an analogy to something that we understand, or at least think we do. So it's like this is the way he would start. I thought I might do a dad joke it's like this and see what you think, all right? Promise not to laugh. It has been said that the truth is like a mullet. Do you know what a mullet is, right? Like a bad haircut, business in front, party in the back. The truth is like a mullet, straight on. Looks pretty straightforward. You kind of look around to the side, you might be surprised. You'll try to forget that. This summer, our focus has been those kinds of teachings of Jesus. The kingdom of God is like a man who finds a treasure in a field. The point is pretty straightforward. What's so great about this analogy is that it's got some parts of it that are pretty simple. Like when you find something valuable, you get excited. You don't have to tell anybody that they should get excited about a treasure or something valuable that they discover. That truth is simple enough. The people of Jesus' time who heard this parable for the first time would likely have had, you know, someone they knew probably had this experience, in part because there weren't banks at the time. People hid treasure. They hid things that were valuable to preserve them. So somebody might have hidden a small amount and forgotten about it. Somebody might have hidden a large amount and then not told anyone and perhaps passed away or something happened to them. And so finding treasure was a little more common. Our frame of reference is like pirates, right? Like people who heard Jesus teach this might have understood what he was talking about. Not long ago, archaeologists unearthed a jar filled with 30 pounds of silver coins that had been buried for 3,000 years. If you found that, you would be excited. And so that analogy holds. The treasure is something you just naturally get excited about. The kingdom of God's like that. It's not a drag. It's not a bummer. It's not a burden. It's not a task. It's this joy-filled thing that we discover. What an amazing truth. Once, when we were doing presents for Mother's Day, Jenny's birthday or something, I sat the kids down and asked what we were going to get mom for whatever the event was. And, you know, if you're a dad and you're buying presents for a mom, you're already handicapped. And then, you know, the kids get involved and it's just very complex. One year, this ended up with Sarah Grace and I going to Kohl's and buying this this heart-shaped necklace. The heart was about this big. And Jenny had to wear it, you know, that day. She had, like, a cramp in her neck at the end of the day. She wore it to the preschool and, like, bonked herself in the head and, you know, kind of almost got a concussion. We call it the Coeur de la Mer, the, you know, the heart of the sea from the Titanic, you know. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na. So I'm sitting the kids down. What are we going to get mom for Mother's Day? What are we going to buy mom? And Isaac was 4 or 5 and he said, I know, jewels. And that's one of our family stories. Anytime we're going to try to, what are we going to get somebody for their birthday? I know, jewels. And what's so great about jewels is that you get excited about it. And so Jesus makes this analogy. It's like a person who would know a fine pearl when he found it, and he found it. Well, of course, that's exciting stuff. What makes this analogy so great is that Jesus is making a comparison between something of monetary value that we would get excited about naturally to the other things in life that are not things that you can buy, things that don't really have a price because they're priceless, that we also want or long for or desire just as much. These are also things, the kingdom of God, that God and the things of God, these are also things that no one would have to tell you to want, to look for, to be excited about if you found it. Most of these treasures have something to do with our relationships, our relationship with God, our relationships with each other, our relationship with ourselves. So the treasure of finding why you are here, the ability to live with passion and purpose. And we all know people who have that thing, right? I mean, it's just this indescribable thing. In a little bit, I'm going to introduce you to somebody like that. It is the treasure of discovering that God is present in every moment and that he's chosen you. Before you chose him, he chose you. And there's nothing that undoes that choosing. There's no level of failure, nor is there any level of success that undoes that basic choosing out of love. And how then that really changes all our relationships. The treasure of being able to love each other the way we want to, discovering how to forgive people, discovering how to find reconciliation and peace as individuals and in communities. These are priceless things. You know, treasures really do have to do with our relationships with God, with ourselves, with each other. When I was growing up, I would find treasures with my mamaw. And that meant we would go around and we'd go on little walks, or most of the time it meant going out into her driveway. And I'm sure in her mind, she watched us a lot. You know, when I was 5 or 6, this was just a way to kill time, right? But we killed time by going and looking and holding up rocks in her gravel driveway as if they were precious stones. And, you know, they had been hauled out of the Ohio River 5 miles away and, you know, brought into her driveway. And I would find one that had little holes in it, or maybe a little shell or something like that. And if one of those rocks was especially special, it got the status of going to her treasure shelf on the shelf in her living room. And my whole growing up, these rocks and then other things, or my brothers or my cousins put up there. I think in that, there was like a little kitty salt shaker that, you know, like was like this big. And if you were to sell it at an auction, you'd have to pay somebody to take it. But it was on Mamaw's treasure shelf, along with a bunch of rocks. You know, when she died, those treasures meant something more to me. I have a little box of Mamaw's treasures. Because treasures really, they may look like rocks from the outside, but those of us who know the relationship connection find that there's something more. True treasure is always about finding where our true identity in Christ, in God's scheme of things. It's when we find real peace or long-awaited for healing or the ability to forgive. Treasure is not about things that have a high price, things instead that are priceless, that money can't buy. Jesus is making this analogy. God and the things of God are things that we discover on earth that are actually from heaven. Isn't that remarkable? That you and I can discover things on earth that are really from heaven. And at the core of that is relationships. The core of that is the God who is at work in every moment all the time. It's such a gift. In a little bit, we'll celebrate communion and we'll be handed a symbol that is God offering himself to us at great cost. What a gift. And so this is a treasure. God and the things of God is something we want. In fact, it's the very thing we've been looking for. It kind of assumes that we're all on a treasure hunt. And we'll go looking for treasure in places where we won't find it. Right? We all have this same experience of thinking something is going to be valuable only to find out that it's not, or looking for treasure in all the wrong places. And so sometimes the message from spiritual people is that those desires are bad, that that we should tamp down our desire. And I think Jesus in this analogy would say, no, you're just looking for treasure in the wrong place. Your desire is a God-given search within you. And as Augustine said, that's going to be a restless thing inside you until your soul finds rest in God. And when you find it, what's the reaction? Excitement, passion, joy. This is the fruit of the Spirit, the New Testament will say. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These things that are just simply a treasure. And it's universally available. If those of us will learn to seek God and the things of God, we're going to find it. This is the promise. if we'll do whatever is necessary to let go of other treasures to get the real treasure, we will find it. And that's remarkable. It's so remarkable that the rest of the story plays out in maybe a surprising way. You know, so those of you who remember Paul Harvey, kids, you're going to have to ask who that is. He would do a new radio show called The Rest of the Story. You would think you would understand the truth, but truth's like a mullet. You look around the side, you get a surprise. And in the telling of this story, you guys have not bought into this mullet thing at all. It's like, nope, I am no, no. There is a surprise to this, and the surprise is this. That when you find this treasure that is the kingdom of God, you will do anything to have it. It's like finding a treasure in a field and going and selling everything off until you can go buy the field and own it. And it's like finding the pearl and going and selling all of everything else you own so that you can have it. It is Jesus describing the ability to gladly and willingly disrupt the rest of your life so that you can have this one precious thing. What's so surprising and what's so remarkable about that is that it involves somebody doing something willingly and gladly that most of us do begrudgingly and reluctantly, which is change. We hate to change. The thing is, we all need it. We all need parts of our lives to be rearranged. We all need to tear out parts of life and rebuild. We're going to have to let go of some things that we've been taught. We're going to have to give up values of this world so that we can take on the values of heaven. That is a process for all of us. It's painful. But what Jesus describes is not really that much pain. He's talking about joy here. He's talking about people gladly and willingly doing what we think we would only do under much duress, begrudgingly, reluctantly. God and the things of God are this treasure that is so priceless that there is no cost too great. We're willing to do whatever it takes. For 7 years, of the 12 that we've lived here in Bowling Green, we lived in a house on Peachtree Lane. We bought the house from some friends of ours' parents. Our friend grew up there, and it had basically been built the same year that Jenny and I were born. So it had not been updated since then, needed a little bit of cosmetic work. And then as we lived there, we began to think of how the flow of the house could be, kind of be moved around and changed. And I watched one too many HGTV shows and started doing some work. About halfway through the first of two demolitions, my friend's husband kind of stopped me one day and he said, "Hey, we've been as a family kind of wondering and want to ask you this question." It was kind of like this awkward moment. He said, "Have you found any money in the house?" I said, "What do you mean?" And apparently, our friend's dad was the kind of guy that didn't maybe always trust the bank and might have stashed some stuff away. And so we did another demolition project and another renovation and pretty much tore out every wall in the house. And when that happened, we said that we would do the work ourselves. I hired a contractor for the other things, but for the demo work, we did it. In fact, I told the kids that there might be money in the wall, and they got at it too. I told that story at 8:30, one of the families came out and said, "Actually, we did a similar thing. We didn't find money, but we did find where our kids had hid some Miller Lite back when they were teenagers." To each their own treasure, I guess. Did we find a treasure in our house? I'm not going to tell. But I will tell you this. It changed the process for us. The joy, the excitement, the adventure that came with the search made the work a different kind of work. Does that make sense? The kind of work that's required of us is a different kind of work. The treasure transforms the process. And I think that says a lot about what's needed in us. We all need to change. This is how it happens. In passionate pursuit of the only thing that matters. In seeking out the thing that makes everything else make sense. and looking for the thing that we want the most that just so happens to be the thing that God wants to give us. Why in the world would we look for anything else? But we do. We do. We resist the very love of God that wants to bring wholeness and healing in us. We sort of, as C.S. Lewis says, we reject a holiday at the beach so that we can make mud pies in our backyard. But when we understand the treasure that is the kingdom of God, we realize that this is no sacrifice. This is not somebody pointing a finger at us saying, you ought to be doing this. The spiritual life is not a should kind of thing, and it's not a guilt thing, it's not a shame thing. All of those things are distraction from the treasure that is the kingdom of God. And we all know people who live with the passion of having found it. And I certainly want to be that kind of person, and I think you would say the same thing. So I thought maybe the most helpful thing to do is to kind of hold somebody up that I think exemplifies that. And back in March, we hosted an event. We just kind of happened to, somebody connected, one of our members connected to this organization called Boys to Men said, hey, this group needs a place to host a breakfast for a bunch of mentors and young men in our community. And we said, sure, that was all that was. And it turned out to be something really special. And I got to meet in that Tyrion Clark, who's here. He's going to share in just a minute. Tyrion grew up here in Bowling Green. I went to Bowling Green High, played football, went on full scholarship to Austin Peay University, graduated from there with a degree in social work, and then from WKU with a master's in sports administration. He is an assistant football coach, a track coach, has a flag football league, and is the employment services coordinator for Bowling Green Schools, and has an organization called Boys to Men. Is that all? There's probably more. Remarkable, remarkable young leader in our community, and I'm excited for you to meet him. To kind of get to know him a little better, though, and Boys to Men as an organization, let's watch this short video together.
Anybody can put on a tie and look nice, but who is the man behind the tie? Like, who? What is your character? I took over the program in 2017. The program was actually started around 2012 through a mentor named Danny Crothers. His work motivated me to give back to our youth. I was raised right across the street in the Housing Authority of Bowling Green. The mission is to teach kids how to become a man and how to be a leader and how to excel through academics, how to be emotionally stable.
Y'all teach us manners and the correct behaviors we should show towards the teachers in class.
It's making me like grow up and like making me want to get more into school.
We have a tie color system. Each of those is a different rank. So at Parker Bennett, our purple tie, in order for them to earn that, they can have a few behavioral incidents as long as they get it together. The gold tie requires no behavioral incidents, and then completing their classwork and demonstrating leadership throughout the course of their week. And then the purple and gold stripe ties is our creed tie. Every program has a chance to form their identity through our creed, and that's what becoming a Boys to Men is about.
I promise to do my very best to achieve my every goal.
To be faithful and disciplined with everything in my control. Learning as much as I can, for knowledge is the key.
There's nothing I cannot do, but the first step starts with me.
We feel like if they can say it, not only will they say it, they'll remember it. If they can remember it, then they can live it.
We get to spend time with other people from different schools. Get to make lifelong friends.
My favorite part is that I get to like be with my friends, and then like I get to help inspire other people with their
time. It's an honor to have you with us, and I'm glad I wore a tie and a striped tie. I don't know the creed, though, so you're going to have to teach me. We're so thrilled to have you, and you've been with us all day. So this is you get to see kind of how we operate with the different services and things, yeah. And how wonderful our people are. And so it's an honor for you to be here and to tell us a little more about. We saw the video. Tell us a little more about what you're doing.
Boys to Men is designed to shape and mold the man behind the tie. A lot of times we could put on suits and clothing to look nice. But for our kids, we want to shape their character behind the tie, because we feel like if we can shape their character behind the tie, then when they put on the tie and wear these clothes, then they can get out and make an impact on our community. Boys to Men was established to teach young men the values of life, to build their character, and to motivate them and inspire them to do great things in our community.
And that's something that we care a lot about. And so yes, when you all called us and we just kind of hosted a breakfast, it was just like we got a front row seat and that yeah. playing out. And it was yes, like sir. This cool event because it yeah. was this thing that had never happened before. No. So kind of tell us what that was, that breakfast.
The breakfast was Dad's, was an event hosted for all of our young men in the city of Bowling Green. We have 5 chapters of Boys to Men, Jennings Creek, Natcher Elementary, Parker Benicary Elementary, Bristol Elementary, and then we have Portland Elementary in Louisville. So the goal of the Breakfast with Dad was to connect young men with mentors and to bring them together, fellowship, invite, grow, and serve, as we talked about, and to bring them together and to feed them. It was inspired through Breakfast with My Son. Me and my son go to breakfast. Well, we went to breakfast every week during the school year. We sat down, we talked. And I kind of told him, I was like, it would be pretty cool if we had a breakfast for other kids, so they can eat with their dads or eat with a male figure. So we ate breakfast, and he was like, yeah, because we go to Corner Bakery and their pancakes is really good. he was like, yeah, Corner Bakery can be our sponsor, and Corner Bakery turned out to be our sponsor. And then we happened to get, I was able to use you guys' church, and that was just amazing. I walked in. That day when I got, I was able to see the venue, and I was like, wow. And then I had the little light thing. So when I came in the next day and the lights was on and the tables were set, I was like, this is going to be pretty special. And it turned out to be an amazing thing.
Right. So there were men and young men from around the community.
Yes, sir.
It was like a gathering of people that, you know, kind of
380.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Of people from all over our community, which is remarkable. And
yes, sir.
The vision of bringing people together in a place like Bowling Green, where it's still small enough where you kind of know you can't go to Kroger and not see somebody, you know,
yes,
and all that, that we this is doable. Like, we
yeah,
can come
is.
Together, we can sir. Focus our efforts, and over time really make a difference.
Yes, sir.
And bringing the kind of passion and focus that you bring to it is an inspiration to all of us.
Yes, sir.
So tell us where that's going. What's the vision?
The vision is to continue to expand and get more people involved. Right now, we'll be implementing 3 more chapters in the city of Bowling Green. We have Alverton Elementary that will be joining us, Richardsville Elementary that will be joining us, and Warren East Elementary that will be Warren East Middle School that will be joining us. So that, just right there, our vision is to continue to grow. Right now, we're at about 500 boys in our group, but by this time next year, it could be 1,000. Or it could be 1,500. So my goal and my vision of the program is to continue to connect our community, regardless of what background you come from. It's not lower class, upper class, middle class. It's everybody.
It's everybody.
Everybody's included, and everybody's invited to be a part of Boys to Men, and that's yeah. our vision.
It's a call up to all of us, which is,
yes, sir.
Is pretty special. And but you have a personal connection. Like, so where's your story fit into all of this?
My story, I was born and raised in Bowling Green, Kentucky. I grew up in the Housing Authority state. Well, I was there for over 18 years. My mom still lives over there. And my personal connection is I always say that I grew up like the kids I mentor. So like the kids I mentor, Parker Benicary, I walked their shoes, I traveled their journey, and I lived their lives. And long story short, I went to Parker Bennett, went to Bowling Green Junior High, and went to Bowling Green High School and played football. I got a collegiate scholarship to go play football at Austin Peay State University. While at Austin Peay, I worked towards getting my degree in social work. I was actually kicked out of school at Austin Peay for my academics. I had a 1.3 GPA. Yeah, That's nothing to talk about.
you're inspiring some people here. Yeah. Like, so, there's still hope.
Yeah, so I was removed from campus, and the coach believed in me. He kept my scholarship because I actually started as a true freshman there. So he kept my scholarship. I came home trying to figure it all out again. I went on to go back, in which I earned my bachelor's in social work. And from there, I came home and I started mentoring. My internship was at Bowling Green High School, in which I mentored a group of kids that was the first group of kids from the Bowling Green City School System to receive the Rotary Club scholarship. And there was like a group of 20 students. And my goal was to establish a curriculum for GPAs, in which they had to have like a 2.5. I had a 1.3. So. But my goal was to establish a curriculum for them and to kind of push them to achieve success. After I finished mentoring with them, I started football camps 6 years ago in the community I grew up in, and I was hosting free youth football camps. And from there, my calling for kids just happened.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
Yes, sir.
So where does the passion come from?
My passion comes from my son. I had read this earlier, and I'll read it to you guys. I said, well, purpose is to do something without question. If you have to question it, then maybe it's not your purpose. But purpose is to do something without question. And I have three things that I say to my son. I say, are you a leader or are you a follower? And I ask him, I say, what does a leader do? He responds, they think for themselves. I said, what is integrity? Doing the right thing. What is confidence? Believing in yourself. And my passion started with my son 6 years ago when he was born into this world. It kind of changed my life. I told the story of driving from Austin Peay back home when he was born. I was in the middle of college football camp, and college football camp is pretty vicious. We 2-a-days, 3-a-days. We had just finished a 3-a-day. That night, I had a phone call. My water just broke. I'm like, oh, Lord. But I didn't drive, so my mom had to drive from Bowling Green to get me, and then I drove back. On my way back, I got pulled over. And from there, I came home, my son was born, and ever since then, I mean, just being a father to him has inspired me to be a father to these young boys, because I feel like if I could start at home and teach my son the values of life, then it makes it so much easier to get out and teach other people's kids the same values I'm teaching my son. So my passion starts with my son.
Well, we want to honor that and celebrate it, so let's do that. And we don't know what God's going to do with you and with us and us together, but we just want to be open to that. So this is kind of our lean into communion this morning, that we would come and present ourselves as fully as possible to this thing called the kingdom of God. And we're going to pray here to see what God might do in that. But as you bring yourself to this moment and to this community and to God himself, we take that as a holy moment, and we pray together. Let's pray. God, I thank you for Tyrion and for what you're doing in him. It's so clear, and we recognize it for what it is. It's this thing that does not have a price, and a gift to him and through him that just really is priceless. And for what you're doing in the lives of young people in Bowling Green and for how we might be a part, we just offer ourselves, and we pray that we'd be open to the movement of your Spirit, and that you would provide this remarkable leader with everything that he needs, and that you would give him the vision and the direction that we can follow. And would you bless him and all that he does in your name? And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.